murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory.
That is correct. And today I thought, because you know, if the recent news has not informed you, but the Pope has sadly passed away. And so we are doing a mystery from the Vatican itself. Might as well jump on there.
Interesting.
Yeah, and basically, and we are going to dive into a deep, compelling, true crime story. So today, we are taking ourselves to the heart of the Catholic Church, the smallest country in the world. Did you know the Vatican is a country?
Well, I found out actually, was it last year or something like that? Because
yeah,
we're watching.
Yeah, so it's a country inside Italy, but it's like tiny.
Yeah, which technically I think should just be a city. But anyway.
Anyway, decided to be a country.
Yeah.
Wait. Do they have a president or is it just the Pope?
That's interesting.
This is an interesting question. Anyway, so we are diving into the corridors of power and secrecy that stretch beyond the borders and into the darkest corners of modern conspiracy. Right. This is the story of Emanuela Orlandi, a young girl, a Vatican citizen who vanished in 1983 and whose disappearance continues to haunt Italy, the church, and her family till this day. You see, I didn't know you could actually live in the Vatican. I just thought, like, it was for the Pope and maybe some nuns.
Wow.
Like, you get what I'm saying? I feel like, I don't know. I didn't think there was actual reason. That's so stupid because then the population would be like 10 people. But anyway. It's a case that entangles the Vatican, the Mafia, foreign intelligence services, and more questions than answers. So buckle up because this is one of those cases where every theory is more unbelievable than the last. But one thing is certain. Somewhere, someone knows what happened to the Vatican girl. So, on June 22nd, 1983, Rome was alive with heat of summer. 17-year-old Emanuela Orlandi, a music student at a prestigious Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music. What? You get sacred music? Do you think it's the music they play at Catholic churches, like the hymns that they sing?
Yeah, probably the hymns, maybe some ancient secrets.
Wow, ancient secrets, as for that. Okay, so she left her family's apartment inside Vatican City to attend a flute lesson. She was running a little late, something she mentions when she called her sister later that day. Yeah. She also said that she was offered a job by a man in a BMW, a strange detail almost mentioned in passing. That's kind of weird. Like, who just pulls up to you on the side of the road and says, do you want a job? My first thought is shady drug dealer.
Yeah, it could be shady drug dealer. It could be... someone trying to rob you.
Not just that, it could be a serial killer trying to kill you. But yeah. Anyway, it would later become one of the many puzzle pieces investigators couldn't quite place. That evening, Emanuela didn't come home. Her family, deeply embedded in Vatican life, with her father working for the papal household, I think that's the Pope's household, was immediately concerned. But despite their proximity to power, they were told what every parent fears in those moments. Let's wait. Maybe she just ran away. And I never understood this, especially when it comes to like people under the age of 18. They don't just not come home. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's different for a 23-year-old or a 37-year-old. But a 17-year-old girl doesn't come home, you best believe I'm going straight to the police. I'm not waiting a minute. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's weird. But Emanuela wasn't the type to run away. She was shy, she was studious, and she lived a quiet life under the watchful eye of one of the most powerful institutions on the earth. So, where did she go? The first few days brought hope and then confusion. Anonymous calls began to trickle in. A man who identified himself only by Pierluigi. I'm assuming that's Father Luigi.
Oh, you mean Pierre?
That one. Oh. We don't judge my pronunciation, okay? And he claimed to have seen a girl matching Emanuela's description, saying she was running away and living with a group of street musicians. I'm not going to believe that. I'm just saying. Soon after, another man called. This one was called Mario. He provided details that hadn't been made public. Emanuela's flute case, the cream she carried in her bag, and he said she was safe. But he wants to make a trade.
Hmm.
Okay. His demand, the release of Mehmet Ali Akka, the Turkish man who tried to assassinate Pope John Paul II in 1981. Oh, that's quite deep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what interests me with him is he knew details that weren't made public. Which gives it a little more backing that this person knows what they're talking about. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Suddenly, this wasn't a missing persons case. This was a hostage situation. Or was it? The Italian press exploded. Conspiracy theories popped up. And it basically, the questions that were being asked were, is this a politically motivated kidnapping? Was it a false flag or just a cruel hoax by someone feeding off of chaos? The Vatican, for its part, remained largely silent, and that silence speaks volumes. After years passed, the theories only got darker. One suggestion comes from Mehmet Ali Akka himself, from prison. He claimed that Emanuela was kidnapped by a faction of Bulgarian agents working under Soviet orders in an attempt to barter for his release. But he changes his story often, and without evidence, it's hard to know what, if anything, he's telling is the truth. I don't know. Kind of feel like, you know, he's just trying to put his name back out there.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Especially if your story changes. Then a new theory emerged, one rooted in Rome's underworld. A woman named Sabrina Minardi, former girlfriend of mafia boss Enrico Renatino De Pedis, comes forward. She claimed that De Pedis kidnapped Emanuela under the orders to pressure the Vatican bank into returning laundered money.
Okay.
Okay. The Vatican Bank had deep and well-documented ties to organized crime during that era. That's a very, very shady thing. Like, the Pope's bank is related to organized crime. That's side eye if I've ever seen one, I'm just saying. And it's really not as far-fetched as it sounds. Money, power, and the church had a complicated relationship in the 1980s Italy. And then there was the strangest twist of all. In 1997, De Pedis is found to be buried in a privileged tomb inside the Basilica of Saint Apollinaire, a church controlled by the Vatican. A mobster buried with the elite. Why? Who approved it, and could it be a silent nod to his involvement? That is very weird. Why is he buried in the Vatican? Like, well, that's... Is that not side eye? Like, they're not gonna bury Al Capone in Arlington Cemetery next to the president. No, I'm serious. It's the same thing. Why is he buried here?
I mean, you know, the relationships between, you know, these
people. Maybe he did have some ties there. So yeah. I want to know who approved that. That I want to, you know, they have that stamp. I want to know whose stamp is on that approval.
Wow.
That's very interesting. Okay. Emanuela's family, especially her brother, Pietro Orlandi, has never stopped searching. Pietro became the face of the movement to find his sister, marching in protests, confronting clergy and appearing on television. He believes there was a cover-up. He believes the Vatican knows more than it has ever admitted. There's evidence to support that suspicion. In 2012, a letter from an anonymous Vatican insider points to a grave in the Teutonic Cemetery within the Vatican's own walls. The grave is exhumed, but it's empty. Why is the grave empty? Is that also not suspicious?
Yeah.
In 2019, the Vatican opened two more tombs. Again, no trace of Emanuela. These symbolic gestures feel hollow to the family, as if the Vatican is giving the appearance of cooperation without ever telling the truth. In 2022, Netflix released this documentary series called The Vatican Girl and brought a renewed attention to the case. It was careful, compelling, and deeply human, centering not on the outlandish theories, but on the pain of the family navigating decades of unanswered questions. And then, perhaps the most shocking moment of all, a former Vatican insider told filmmakers that Emanuela was taken for reasons of sexual blackmail and that high-ranking church figures were involved. The claim is unverified, but it shakes Italy. In 2023, in response to the growing public outcry, the Vatican announces it is reopening the investigation for the first time in 40 years. They say they will take a fresh look at the case of Emanuela Orlandi. Will this lead to answers? Nobody knows, but the fight for the truth continues.
Mm.
So, I think... I definitely think there's something fishy going on here. I mean, she couldn't have just disappeared. I think it was strange that there were those two phone calls. One first saying that she'd might run off with musicians. Like, what is that? And then the second one saying that they wanted the release of that prisoner.
Yeah.
Now, in my mind, what kind of makes sense is they did want the release of that prisoner. But I personally think... that, what was his name? Anyway, the assassination guy. I don't think he knew about it. You know when, like, you have followers and they just want to get you out, but
yeah.
It's not very easy to get information into the prison. So he might not have known about it. But then what I think what he did is later in those interviews, even though he didn't really know the plan, he just wanted to still kind of throw his chances around and maybe be able to get out. Throw his chances around and maybe be able to get out. So it's kind of like, okay, I now know people are trying to get me out. Maybe let me help my cause by making some noise.
Yeah.
The reason I'm inclined to believe that one is the fact that the caller knew information about like personal belongings that were on her. And that is not something that... I mean, you can't just make that up on the spot. You actually have to have that information. Yeah. I think maybe what happened is she tried to escape or something happened and she got killed. And Ooh. Then because of that, he had to hide like the body or whatever with the body. And that's why she was never returned. Because I firmly believe that if she was still alive, he would have kept phoning and be like, release him, release him, release him, release him. Until you get what you want. Yeah. That's the point of a hostage.
Yeah.
So you're not going to just phone once and then never phone again. If you've got a hostage, you're going to pressure until you get what you want. But I think something went wrong. She died, but now he has nothing left to pressure with because she's dead. So, and then I think the prisoner himself then just later decided to make noise because he... had the chance, he was hoping that maybe there's still a chance he could get released because of this. I don't think the mafia is involved. It's kind of a bit far-fetched. I think there would need to be more evidence. If the Vatican is involved, Also, I'm not very sure.
I think they could be.
I think that maybe they know more than what's being let on. I don't think... I mean, because why would the Vatican want the person who tried to assassinate the Pope out? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the person who tried to assassinate Donald Trump... I mean, okay, I know he's dead, but if he'd gone to jail... Washington DC is not going to be wanting to get him out of jail. Do you get what I'm saying? So the Vatican's not going to... I think they might have known what happened to her. Maybe they caught the guy who made the phone call. Maybe they knew she's dead and they just haven't said anything because it like is bad for them. I don't know. Or maybe even the person who wanted the person released was connected to them and they were like, let's not cause scandal and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like another, maybe a priest wanted to kill the Pope and then he hired the turkey man. And now that would have looked really bad.
Yeah.
If that came out, you know, I think with the Vatican specifically, even now just looking at how things are being handled, it is very hush hush. It's also kind of the same, like there's certain places in the world that I truly believe we do not know half the stuff that goes on. One being North Korea, one being Russia. I don't think we know half the stuff that goes on in Russia. Just saying. I think China is the same. I'm not surprised. I don't think we know everything that happens in the Vatican. I really don't. Yeah. I think there's a lot of stuff that happens behind closed doors.
Just like the sacred music studies.
Just like the sacred music studies. And the reason I say that is because it's supposed to be such this elite organization which has such a reputation, if I can put it that way, that kind of people don't question what happens there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also very intrigued. I'd love to know what's going to happen in this conclave as they choose an ex-pope.
Mm.
I think that's... If I could be a fly on the wall there, I think it'd be so interesting. My question is for the conclave. A lot of those popes are from different countries. How do they all speak the same language? Or do you think they have interpreters? Because there's a option from Ghana. From
that guy would speak
Philippines.
Yeah,
Hungary, Philippines. Canada, Italy. I can't remember any other places. But they've got them lined up. But I do think... It's one of those organizations, and I think it was the same with the church back in the day, like the Renaissance age. No one questioned. I do think that's like that because it's this holy, reputable organization. Why are you going to question it?
Mm.
Why are you going to question it? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I don't think they had a role in her disappearance. I do think they might know more than they're letting on. But I feel like that's an organization you're never going to get answers out of either. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very shady. Don't come after me, though. Please.
Wow.
This is just my brain thinking of things. Anyway. So, that's it for the Vatican girl. I mean, she's been missing now for over 40 years. Most definitely, I'd hope she's dead. I'd hope she's not been alive and being tortured or sexually assaulted. That's actually more awful than death. But I do hope the family gets answers. I do think, I really hope that because, I mean, they reopened the investigation in 2023. But if you think about it, it's now 2025. And the fact we don't have any new answers is also kind of like, okay, what have you been doing for the last 2 years with this? So, will we get answers? I don't think so. I don't know. But I would love to have some answers. And I'd love for the family at least to know what happened to their daughter. But yeah, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
What happens in the Vatican?
Stays in the Vatican. Wow. Suppose that's true. I read somewhere the other day that I think the Vatican is smaller.
Like when you look at it on the map, it's like
it's
tiny.
Because there's only two countries that are inside other countries in the world. The Vatican and Lesotho.
Yeah.
That's inside us in South Africa. And the Vatican is inside Rome. Is it in Rome or Italy? Let's just broaden it. But before we leave, let me just tell you my a joke my history teacher always used to say. He said, Lesotho would be the only country South Africa would ever be able to go to war against.
Wow.
Why?
Obviously, because they're insane.
Because we have them surrounded.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. But anyway, I suppose that's the same thing for the Vatican. Anyway, so we'll see who the new Pope is. That will be coming up in the news. But otherwise, that is it for the show. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on. Make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.